Hi, welcome to another Expert Insights discussion. Today we're joined by our regular guests from Berner & Becker, Veit and Till. In this discussion, we reflect back on our conversation in April, looking at the German hotel market and see what has changed in the last 3 months. We also touch on a number of other topics, including inbound international travel, groups and events business, pricing for this type of business, and changing comp sets. Really hope you enjoy the discussion. Let's get started.
Hey guys, Veit, Till, good to see you again. How are you, Veit? You well?
I'm well, thank you.
Brilliant. Hi. And Till, how are you?
Doing good, thanks.
Good. Good to catch up with you guys. Thanks for finding the time again. I'm going to cover a number of areas, but kind of following the similar format that we had last time, which is a bit more just discussing about some broader topics as things are starting to change and unlock and evolve, but probably useful just to kind of get your views maybe for the first 5-10 minutes or so, just following up on the last sort of podcast that we did, which was looking specifically at the German market. So if I kind of throw it over to you guys and say, well, what are we seeing? What's changed since our last conversation? Who wants to pick up on that?
yeah, happy to. I'm just trying to recap, like actually what we said in the last podcast. But
well, we're talking about think how it was the coastal regions, wasn't it? I think was the
Yeah. Absolutely. But I think in the last podcast we've been drawing a let's say slightly conservative picture around how business will be picking up over the summer months, especially for the region of Germany. Mm-hmm. But also being split into the different regions that we actually have in Germany, right? And yeah. And I think a lot of the stuff that we said back in the days actually comes true now. So we've seen a lot of excitement actually, and a lot of movement, especially when it comes to those coastal regions. How the summer is coming along. I mean, also over the last couple of weeks, they have been seeing great demand actually coming in, and as we have a couple of client hotels being located on the coast, we were seeing that firsthand, and it's actually amazing to see that things are picking up there.
Very good.
and continue to evolve very positively, also into July and August, obviously. Mm-hmm. And same actually goes for, let's say, holiday regions down in the south of Germany, right? If you go into the mountains, that's all great. But then I think also one of the things that we see is when we're speaking about cities, let's look at the bigger cities, Berlin, Frankfurt, look at Düsseldorf, look at Munich, also look at Hamburg. I think there we were certainly right in saying that, you know, a slightly more pessimistic picture would be doing it. And, mm-hmm. and this is what we still see, right? Even though I have to say, since we've done the preparation for the podcast just last week, we've actually been seeing some great demand coming into the city of Munich.
Oh,
that
wow.
might be related to the Euro Games, even though yeah. they only allow around 15,000 visitors actually, or spectators to the stadium. But mm-hmm. It's been quite nice to see that Munich is also getting some further requests now. So that's great. But one of the things that I wanted to highlight is actually, if we're looking at the middle band in Germany, I think this is where we see a huge difference between whatever's going on in the northern part of Germany and also in the southern part of Germany, because the middle band of Germany, even though those are, let's say, holiday regions and recreational regions as well, I think they are just stumbling into that summer period right now. And they're still waiting for the great pent up demand actually to
right.
come in. Yeah. So it's funny in terms of reasoning for that, you know, what I could think of is probably people have seen those regions and have visited those regions from a domestic standpoint of view.
Yeah, yeah.
Over the course of last year, because actually Germans were not allowed to travel anywhere else really. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And as let's say travel restrictions loosened quite extensively now over the last couple of weeks, people are probably more inclined to spend their holidays away from Germany, or just spend them in Spain, France, wherever.
So the domestic, what would be the local, when everyone was talking about looking at your local business, you think for that middle region, the local business has been picked up, say, last year, and now that people can travel further, they're thinking of other options.
Yeah, exactly. They are just thinking about other options, or they obviously stay in the country, but then go to the northern part or go to the southern part, but not necessarily stay in that middle band. And historically, the demand that has been seen by those middle band regions, I would call it, has always been domestic, right?
Yeah.
And as people now have the options with, other countries obviously having opened up as well, it could create a little bit of an issue.
So there's now greater competition.
Yeah, in a way. It's
definitely greater competition. I mean, a recent study showed that people still prefer a type of holiday that is self-organized, and about 79% answered in a study that was released last week here in Germany that they want to travel by car, another 12% by train. So you can see it really flying, at least for the people who participated in that survey, is not really an option. But now with vaccination campaigns moving quite at a faster pace, it of course also feels safer for everyone to travel abroad. Still, people like to prefer countries that are not really risk areas or not considered risk areas, where the danger of catching the virus is much lower. But it could very well be that people have already seen these middle regions. It's also a different type of holiday, of course. So while it's more like, I would say, an active holiday, where you maybe go hiking or mountain biking, lots of outdoor activities, it's a different mode of holiday if you just want to relax and you want to lie next to the beach. So there might be a desire of those people to rather see something else and see the sea and the beach in that sense after being at home for such a long period.
No, that makes sense. That makes sense. And I read something, I think it was this morning, that obviously, and I think we might have touched on this, that is it this Friday that the kind of Germany is opening up for non-EU travelers? I read something about that. So, I mean, would that create more opportunities? I mean, if you're looking at the US market, for instance, how big is the US market for Germany as a whole, and say for that middle region, or maybe I'm layering a number of questions here, but kind of Germany, that middle region, but then also the cities, because as you said, the resorts are doing pretty well, but I'm interested in what other demand there may be coming in.
That's a very good question that I can't answer directly. I would also need to look into the numbers, but historically the cities were more important for international visitors. And especially if you look at the demand coming from Asia or the US, the southern part of Germany was much more booked in the past than these kind of middle region like the Harz, or the upper part of Germany, which also has a bit of a historic reason in terms of the US, where the military bases were. So you have normally like a typical travel route is you land in Frankfurt and you drive all the way through Nuremberg down to Munich, and the other way around would be Munich, Nuremberg, Frankfurt.
Gotcha.
So you have that real German beer and Lederhosen feeling.
Yeah, it's interesting. As I think, as Till just said, like international tourism or international travel historically has not been that much of an influencing factor, actually, for that middle band region in Germany. So I wouldn't know if Americans would have found their way to the Ore Mountains or to the Thüringer Forest. I wouldn't be sure about that, but obviously when it comes to city demand and now also already looking a little bit further ahead, and not only for the next 2 to 3 weeks, or let's say that the next 6 weeks, but rather looking into September, October time with a little bit of lead time going in there, I think international travel from the US will certainly be an influencing factor for whatever is happening in destinations like Munich, maybe also Frankfurt. and certainly also some of the bigger city destinations in Germany. So that's certainly positive signs being on the horizon, also to get that city demand actually back up. But yeah, and let's see.
Where are the numbers? I mean, when we were talking on the last one, I mean, the numbers in the city were just brutal. Have they improved at all? I mean, you mentioned Munich, but I mean, more broadly, looking at the key city destinations, has there been any improvements? I mean, where do we see demand coming in?
They improved a bit, but they're still on a level that is not really sustainable, right, to be honest.
Because I mean, when we last spoke, they were down in single figure percentage.
Single digits, yeah. From an occupancy and also from a RevPAR perspective, and that's been very daunting to see actually. But from what we can tell right now, if we're looking at, for example, the market of Munich, it's slowly climbing up towards the 25-30% mark. So you certainly have some domestic business in there. You might also have some business travel in there as well, but from an international standpoint of view, obviously there was nothing over those last couple of weeks, right? But with that being in the pipeline, I think there's reason for hope actually over those next couple of weeks and months also to come.
Well, I was going to ask about that in terms of, you know, business travel, group business. I mean, I had an interesting conversation yesterday with another of our expert partners over in the US, and they were saying how everyone was planning for June, but they were surprised because the moment things started to open up, they just had this influx in May, but it was all really leisure business, and they weren't kind of prepared for it. It took them by surprise. So all the staffing issues that we're reading about as well. So I guess I'm quite interested to kind of get your take looking forward a little bit more now around the demand piece and looking at, okay, I'm guessing leisure is still very strong. Are we seeing groups coming back? Where do we see kind of business travel? And more broadly then, how is this impacting on what you're seeing with your clients and hotels generally?
In terms of business travel, there was one survey that I came across while basically prepping our talk that made like had a broader audience in the business travel world in Germany. Mm-hmm. And about 35% of the people responded that they see less business travel. So there is still a big piece or a big chunk of people, around 60%, that even see the same amount or even a bit more of business travel coming up within the end of this year or next year.
Yep.
So there is opportunity for the cities, mm-hmm. which is good.
That's encouraging.
And at the same time, we also see there is group demand coming back, at least in some locations, where we now have quite a big pipeline also on meeting and events, mm-hmm. Even for the months of July and August.
Okay.
So we still lack demand for September, October moving forward, which could be that they're still working on this very short-term business and getting their conferences set up. And it could be that on the other hand, they are also trying to do some risk mitigation in terms of maybe a fourth wave in September, October, November, when the weather gets turns bad again.
Okay.
I think in that respect, two things are changing, right? Historically, at least, also when it came to city destinations and when it came to hotels that were actually able to take group business and were having a focus on that specific part of the business, mm-hmm. They have either seen quite some large requests coming in, or they have obviously seen that business being requested with a certain kind of long lead time, right? Mm-hmm. But all of this is changing, right? What we're seeing right now is even groups get requested quite short term because people just know, okay, now I can plan with it. Now I request it. And when I request it and get a good offer, I'll just book it, right? And secondly, the size of the groups gets a lot smaller.
Okay.
In that sense, like, just going back to that example with Munich, obviously we had a couple of big fairs obviously happening all the time in the past when it came to months like September, October, November, right? Mm-hmm. All those fairs are obviously pretty much not happening. And if one of them is happening still, then it will be happening on a much smaller extent.
Yeah.
So same happens to the group business, right? There's no need to place, I don't know, a group with 150 people. No, but then it's rather a group with, you know, 25 to 50 people coming mm-hmm. in and being requested.
Yeah.
So lead time and also group size is dramatically changing. And what that obviously requires for hotels to do is, you know, being on their toes. And still staying flexible, because God knows what's going to happen with the virus moving into quarter four at some point, and how infection numbers will probably rise again, and what that will mean in terms of potential restrictions. So I think highest alert for hotels also to stay flexible for those booking requests coming in. And if something has to be canceled again, obviously, as a hotel, you would be willing to directly offer alternative dates and move those reservations rather than, you know, trying to charge your clients for not showing up at some point or canceling. Yeah,
and it's interesting you talk about the events business. Again, it's interesting how that mirrors the conversation I was having yesterday as well.
Mm.
They were talking about there were events going on, and typically they might have, you know, 1900, 2000 people attending, and they were down at about 1200. So there was that positivity that the event was going ahead and that people were going out and meeting up. So we weren't all suddenly doing this virtual and locked into Zoom. People have got a bit of Zoom fatigue now and glad to meet in person, but the numbers were certainly down. It seems as if that's mirroring. But you mentioned a little bit about that flexibility. I mean, what are you seeing with your kind of clients in terms of with the group business and how they're responding? Are there changes in terms of how hotels are responding? Have they got staff back to be dealing with these inquiries? You know, what are you seeing on that side of things?
It really depends per client from our end. And what we in general see is that this group segment gets much more fragmented. As Veit said, you rather don't have one big request, but you have maybe two or three smaller ones that add up to maybe the same size. But this also poses another challenge on the hotels with maybe their staff not even back. I think you have the same situation in the UK, maybe in the US definitely, mm-hmm. but hotels or restaurants looking for qualified staff because people have left the properties during the pandemic and maybe have found an alternative employment and are now really not really willing to come back. Mm-hmm. So you maybe have less man or woman power, but on the other hand, as these groups get much more fragmented, for a group of 100 people, it's basically maybe the same process you need to go through in terms of preparing the event and conducting it, then doing the same thing for five different groups. Then you suddenly have five preparatory talks. You need to send out the contract five times. You need to renegotiate the contract five times. So this is much more time consuming in a time where there's maybe even less staff on property that can handle it.
Yeah, because I guess staffing up for a bigger event or a big group, you're going to have the same level of staff, or you may not even have that resource available, but that's now split across sort of four or five smaller groups as you've maybe adjusted how you're running your hotel to cater for these smaller requirements. So there's a different logistical challenge now as well, isn't there?
Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. It poses a real challenge for a lot of the operators in actual fact. I mean, as in any other country, probably, we've also seen quite a number of people from our workforce in the hospitality industry, either leaving the industry or still not fully back in the actual work hours and work contracts and further being on furlough. But it also poses the issue of, you know, has there been enough time actually? It's actually funny to ask that question. Has there been enough time actually to train up the staff that is still available, right? In order to accommodate for all the new challenges that lie ahead. And while I'm posing that question with, has there been enough time? You know, you would think, yes, there has been enough time, but as business has been coming back so suddenly in a way, yeah, and was starting from one day to the next kind of, it's probably right to ask that question. And this is what we also see across our client hotels, I would say, right? There's significant challenges actually in accommodating all the new the new normal in that sense.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, the business isn't drip feeding back. Sorry, Till, you were going to say something there.
It's more leading towards or moving discussion further into this strategic sales revenue perspective field. There's also the challenge for us, obviously. Beforehand, before Corona hit, we were quite certain which type of requests have a specific lead time. We could turn down requests that might be not as profitable as another request that we're still awaiting that is much bigger and fills our capacities to a higher percentage. But right now it's a bit the case of, on the one hand side, trying to be as attractive in terms of pricing and conditions to attract overall group business and the requests that are coming in to price them as competitive as possible to convert. But on the other hand, not leaving money on the table, because in some occasions you could potentially drive prices up or even work with stricter conditions, again, because the whole situation is easing at the moment.
Yeah.
In order to optimize your revenues, it's really challenging to find that fine balance, because all the historical statistics are not 100% valid anymore, because right now everything is very, very short term. And it's all smaller groups. You don't really have this distinguishment anymore between larger groups with the longer lead time, and the shorter it gets, the smaller the groups are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, Vite, you were going to say?
No, that's fine. You go ahead.
I was going to ask something in around that pricing piece, and maybe less around the profitability piece, but it'd be interesting to get your take. I mean, when we were talking about hotels opening up, looking at it from a leisure point of view, there was always this, you know, don't be dropping your prices, don't be moving, you know, into a different price point. What are we seeing happening, you know, maybe anecdotally, or what you're actually seeing from a data point of view, if there's any sort of benchmarks around that from a pricing point of view with these groups? Are we way down on where we were before, or are they still being able to hold up the price considering there's now a greater cost to the hotels for putting on these groups?
I think with our hotels, we're trying to at least keep group rates on a sustainable level also. Mm-hmm. And you know, also having that in comparison to whatever happened before Corona, unless the market dictates completely different.
Right, yeah.
And in that regard, you also obviously have to know what is your competition that you're actually fighting against for that specific group business that gets requested, be it for a wedding, or be it for a birthday party, or be it for whatever corporate travel in terms of group side is coming along there. I think that's a whole different layer that hasn't been considered so much just before the pandemic. Because now it's even more important actually to know exactly, okay, what are the hotels that you're really competing with for that specific piece of business?
Yeah.
And it might not necessarily be the same hotels that you're competing for individual leisure business. And what it does in terms of pricing, let's say from a more general viewpoint, is that obviously all the hotels that get those group requests coming in, they are obviously inclined to get that base business in, right? And from there on, build their business mix a little bit further, adding it up with individual leisure business or whatever other business. And in that respect, I think it's so important that hotels consider that quote to win part. Which in hindsight means that you maybe make a little bit of a cutoff in terms of pricing just in order to get that business, but then you got it secured because it's coming so short term and you most probably only have one chance actually to quote it.
Got you.
You will not get the chance actually to renegotiate on the price. It has to be fitting the first time you send out that offer for that group, no matter which type of group it is, because otherwise it simply goes over to your competition.
Yeah.
Right. And if you don't know what your competition is on that specific group business, you're pretty much lost because then you constantly outprice yourself.
Yeah, it makes sense. It brings me on to something else, but go on, Till. I was going to say if you had something to add to that.
Yeah, now is really the time to start again with like really a thorough comset check for your group business.
Just going to ask so, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That is really time consuming. Because it's much, much more manual work. There are some tools out there to support you, but it's not as easy as implementing a rate shopper and putting together one or two comp sets for your public business and directly shopping the rates all in a nice calendar view. But in that sense, it really includes you need to make sure you look around and maybe not just in your individual town or city, but even get a bit of a broader view also to the outskirts of a city or your region to really define what are your competitors that you are fighting with in terms of winning a particular piece of business. And this can even be a totally different competitor, let's say, to attract leisure group business, these bus tours, versus a corporate group without meeting, or even a third comp set for your meeting and events business, because your venue space could be totally different per comp set. So really define that and then go ahead and researching what are they pricing also in terms of DDR rates, what are their cancellation policies or payment policies. And then what from my point of view is probably the most challenging part is trying to place requests and try to find out what they're actually quoting and how far do they renegotiate in terms of winning the business.
I think that's a good point. And I think for me, you touch on a couple of areas there around the comp set, but also your segmentation, and those two areas have been really thrown into the focus, I think, as people start to look at coming out. I mean, from a leisure point of view, how many hotels, how many of your clients, again, anecdotally, specifically, look at vacation rental space as a key competitor and bring that into the comp set. When you're looking at groups and meetings business, a lot of other facilities have adapted to try and pick that up. And is that being viewed as your comp set locally? I mean, there's a number again, and I always throw a lot of things in there just to get your views. But what's your kind of take on that kind of comp set piece and how that's now become more varied?
Yeah, I think there's a number of different layers actually on that whole discussion. I think we cannot even cover everything today. But when it comes to that segmentation piece, I think one of the things that have really become predominant is the thought of moving away from that stiff segmentation that we had in the past, but rather going into a more flexible approach of segmentation as a step before we're moving into really something that is called customer centricity. Mm-hmm. And this is still something where I think we're still a couple of years away from in the hospitality industry. But let's pick it up on that flexible segmentation approach, because I mean, we've seen a lot of creativity actually from hotels over those past couple of months, actually in terms of creating new rate products, creating new offers for clients, making sure it's, accommodates also the expectations that guests have and the needs that guests have in order to travel to a destination and have a specific purpose there. So let's just talk about, work from the hotel or some long stay offers. And suddenly when you look at rate products like this, your competition that you're comparing with for a specific piece of business instantly changes, right? Yeah, so then you're not only comparing to the hotel next door anymore, and you're also not comparing to the hotel that is probably in the outskirts of your city anymore. No, but you're also comparing to other operators. Mm-hmm. Let that be Airbnb, let it be, WeWork for some office-related products. And this is really something that hoteliers have to get into their minds, right? Because it cannot simply be the case that you continue with, you know, pricing your products and services and offers exactly as you would have done it just before the pandemic. But no, now you're obliged actually, and you're forced to look into, okay, which options would a guest have otherwise if they wouldn't book with me for a specific rate product? And that will pretty much also define how much more flexible your segmentation approach will be becoming, right? Because let's say a corporate guest that has been historically coming to you might still be a corporate guest in a way, even today. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he's coming again in 2 weeks' time, bringing his family over the weekend, looking for a whole different purpose in his trip. Absolutely. And therefore is falling into a whole different category with different needs, with a different also willingness to pay at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. So that this flexible segmentation approach has to become much more predominant. And I think also from a technological point of view, we're not really there yet, because in a way, you know, in PMSs, also in the revenue management systems, you still have that stiff segmentation approach being included. So it will be a bit of a way to actually move away from that.
Till, what's your sort of take on things?
Yeah, I can. Yeah, I totally agree with Veit there. That hotels, or for me, it all comes down to the point that we discussed way back in one of the podcasts. Right, is really on the one hand side, as a hotel, knowing what my USP is, also what my capabilities are, in what am I really good at? So what is redriving the people to my property? And then finding the right guests, or the right guest clientele for my property, so I can then tailor make offers that attract these type of guests to my hotel. At least that's kind of the same what Veit said in terms of flexible segmentation. It's really defining my my target groups, mm-hmm. and then aligning all my sales efforts and distribution efforts on really getting in front of these specific guests that can then come or then book my offers. And that is something that I see as a huge advantage for those regions that still see a lot of occupancies, that they don't really have had this big wave of bookings coming in. They still have lots of capacities, that at a certain point now, when the summer holidays are really starting, and my feeling is, I don't have any numbers for that, my feeling is that as pickup has been that short term with 1 or 2 weeks out in many of the regions in the past 1.5 to 2 months, there's still lots of opportunities for the upcoming month, because I feel it will still stay short term because people don't want to commit that far out to making a definite booking. So that these regions can really sit down and look at, where has my demand traditionally come from? Is that really the travelers that are still coming? Maybe I have renovated, maybe I have added some features to my property that could talk to a totally different audience. Mm-hmm. And then making sure they look at the distribution or sales landscape and try to decide what are the best channels to reach, let's say, or stay with your example of the corporate meetings that were probably held locally in a city in the past. Maybe people are now looking rather to go in kind of a resort nature destination, which are not that crowded. Yeah. So that could potentially produce new, or give a new opportunity of attracting this type of boardroom style meetings that can then be connected to, let's say, some team building experiences or something similar at the same time, because people are coming from maybe 1.5 years of Zoom conferences. Absolutely. And home office and you now want to bring the team back together in smaller groups, of course, to mitigate the risk, but that they can experience something together.
Yeah.
I think that's a key. To me, you know, the demand, in all the conversations we're having, the demand is kind of trickling back and in some areas it's exploded back. But I think, again, you know, one of the questions that was posed yesterday, and I pose it to you as well, you know, if the resorts are doing well because people are now returning, you know, whether they're revenge travelers or just they're allowed to go and travel now and want that break. But I mean, that will be for a particular season, will it? I mean, I guess it's, you know, the same for you guys, that those resorts will be quieter towards the back end of September into October and November, once maybe children are returning to school or whatever it may be. So, you know, where is the business then coming in the autumn period? How do those hotels normally adjust? But if the business travel hasn't come back significantly, if the group's business is smaller, I don't want this to sound, you know, be negative, but sometimes I feel there's this, I'm just nervous that there's this underlying sense that people feel as things start to open up, we will in time, you know, in the next few months, just revert back to how things were before COVID. And I'm slightly worried that maybe feels a little bit naive. I don't know, maybe I'm being overly pessimistic, but I do worry. I don't want to be naturally, but I worry a little bit that people aren't quite exploring where this demand is coming from and what the implications are, you know, if I'm in leisure beyond September, for instance. What am I going to be doing October, November? How has that changed compared to where my markets were in maybe 2019? The group's business, is it really going to pick up to a degree, or will it not change until we get into next year and everyone starts to feel more confident coming back, you know, once we're into quarter one? I mean, what are your just broad thoughts on that?
Well, my feeling is that based on last year, we saw that the pre-booking for end of September, especially October, was quite well. Mm-hmm. So that looked kind of amazing compared to, or seeing that we are in 2020 in the midst of a pandemic. Mm-hmm. So my thoughts on it is that as last year we were coming out of a maybe 2.5-3 months lockdown that prevented people from traveling on these traditionally high demand weekends or in April and May, that this demand now shifts back to September, October, mm-hmm. because that's traditionally an audience that does not have children, and at least outside of the Easter holidays, that prefer to go outside of holidays because just the prices are sometimes better, availability is better.
Yeah.
So that could carry on up until October. And in October, as at least in Germany, we see another week of autumn holidays where people are traveling with their kids. Mm-hmm. But I do share that concern that as we are going further on in October and November and the weather is not that good anymore. Last year, the weather in September, October was really, really good still. Mm-hmm. So people were traveling to the coast and they wanted to be outside. But that could pose a bigger issue onto the hotels that at least don't have a spa. And even for those who are having a nice spa area where you can potentially just stay indoors, mm-hmm. the question is how well are people staying or feeling well staying indoors? We by now know that it's much safer being outside than being indoors. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I would say, like, one of the things that we all agree with and that has been said for a long time now is that 2021, no matter what's happening, is still going to be kind of a transitional mm-hmm. year, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So even though I agree with Till that we will be seeing, let's say, an extended summer period or an extended leisure travel period also into quarter four, for sure, for many destinations, it will also be the case that we should not start thinking that quarter four is going to be anywhere near where pre-pandemic times have stopped, probably. So I would still stick to the saying that 2021 is going to be that transitional year. And then as of 2022, we're starting to get into, let's say, a more stabilized demand pattern in terms of, you know, what is going to be your low season, what's going to be your mids, and also your high season, and which kind of business is actually being driven in those seasons. So, I mean, also, if you listen to people like Sebastian Bazin from Accor, and also if you listen to Chris Nazetta from Hilton, they are saying like global travel demand is going to be back in no time, and it's going to be much quicker than everyone thinks.
Yeah.
And I mean, we have signs on the horizon that this could be the case, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe those people are not really incorrect. Who knows? But it still means that 2021 should, you know, should not be taken as a measurement for anything that's to come for the years ahead, because it will be so much different as of next year. Because also by then, let's say if we take this from a global standpoint, you know, you will have plenty of people vaccinated. Yeah. You will probably not have any travel restrictions anymore. And then people will simply have that desire actually to, you know, just travel across the world again. Yeah. So it will happen.
Good.
I'm confident.
Good. And that's a positive note to end on. But I think you're right. And I think the word transition is a good word for 2021. And I think stabilized is probably an appropriate word for 2022, as you say, when you look at what everyone is saying and what the data is telling us and what behavioral psychologists might be inferring of how people will respond. I think back to your point around the have people had time, when you use that word, have they had time to prepare coming back for the group's business, for instance? That was the context of that conversation. I think it was sort of on or off. It wasn't a drip feeding back, so you really didn't have time to respond. You just had to deal with it.
Yeah.
I think being able to look further forward and recognizing this is a transition does actually give you time to start to think. Because I think although it will come back in the ways that you've outlined, I think people have also become aware that there are more options available. So I think the competition to the hotels in the way that they have operated historically, what they've seen as their core markets, what they've seen as their competition. So back to that segmentation and comp set piece, I think from my point of view and the conversations we're having, you know, this would be the time where if you're getting ready to take advantage of the transition, but position yourself for the stabilization, you know, look at those segments, look at where the guests are coming from, just reevaluate your comp set, make sure that you're looking more broadly and understand where the business is coming from, but where you may be losing business to, because that's not necessarily going to disappear next year. And I think, as you say, the vaccination program is helping. So we're all starting to unlock. We're all starting to move forward. So let's look forward to a strong end, a strong second half of 2021, and roll into a more stabilized 2022, which would be very encouraging.
But exactly.
Thanks, guys, for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Take care.
Well, I hope that conversation was of interest. And thanks again to Veit and Till for joining us. If you have any thoughts or views on this discussion, please feel free to reach out. We value your input and we're happy to follow up with our guests. You can reach us via our social channels, or you can email us via insights@revenue-hub.com. That's insights, insights@revenue-hub.com. If you like what we're producing, please do subscribe through the podcast channel you're listening to. And if you want to see the interview, you can find it on the Revenue Hub YouTube channel, and the link is in the podcast notes. And if you do watch it on YouTube, it would be great if you would consider subscribing. It really helps out the channel, which helps us to help others. Anyway, until next time, thanks for listening.